church to unite. We must unitedly stand as God's church if we are going to impact this nation for God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. This evening we will be hearing a message delivered by Pastor Grant on July 4th, the 245th anniversary of our nation's birth. In his message, we will hear Pastor Grant emphasize how crucial it is in these days when the nation has so lost its way for the church, the people of God, to take up anew the responsibility of standing as a beacon of truth and light in the gathering darkness. We invite you then to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Impacting a Nation in Turmoil. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Today is Independence Day, and despite our challenges, I believe America is still among the most unique countries on earth. For you see, in America, people will order a double or triple bacon cheeseburger with an extra large fry, and to save calories, they'll order a Diet Coke. You see, in America, when you go to the pharmacy, they make the sick people go all the way to the back to get their medicine. Have you noticed it? While the healthy people can buy their cigarettes right at the front. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that in America, when you pull up at the skating rink, all the spots in the front are for the handicapped? Have you noticed that? I'm not sure exactly what the handicapped are going to do there. But have you noticed that in America, they sell hot dogs in packets of 10, but the hot dog buns only come in packs of 8. Have you noticed that? What are you going to do with the extra 2 hot dogs? Only in America. We are certainly a unique country. Now that may be humorous, but the truth is that today, as we celebrate 245 years of independence, America is in great turmoil. For added to the coronavirus epidemic, which has killed over 600,000 in our nation, political and racial conflicts continue to tear our nation apart. Who could forget the brutal murder, the video of the brutal murder of George Floyd last year as he begged and told them, I cannot breathe. But you remember he was brutally murdered. And after the national outcry, of course, some took to the streets, the nation took to the streets, some to protest, some to ask for change, some seeking an opportunity to loot and vandalize and take advantage of the situation. But despite the national outcry, after his death, hate crimes and senseless murders have continued unabated. Mass shootings are at an all-time high, and children are being killed in our streets across the nation. In Philadelphia, we have never seen anything like this, as children continue to be mowed down senselessly. America is in turmoil. And it seems to me that our political leaders seem to have no answers. The political leaders whom God has put in place to hold back evil seem to have no answers on how to bring this madness to an end. But I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has the answer, because America's main problem is a spiritual problem, and there is no message as unifying and as filled with hope, healing, and reconciliation as the gospel of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the church has the answer because Jesus Christ is the answer. So guess what? Armed with this gospel, this should have been a time of unprecedented opportunity for the church. You may not stop to think about it, but armed with the gospel of Christ, the present crisis should be a time of unprecedented opportunity for those of us armed with the gospel of Christ to impact this nation for God. But sadly, to our shame, the church is so divided, the church is so polarized, the church, in fact, is bringing reproach to the name of Christ. Today, God is calling his church to a renewed commitment. And it is my prayer, if you're a believer here this morning, that you'll pay attention, because God is going to challenge every single one of us here, as well as those listening elsewhere, to a renewed commitment. For there is a war waging for the souls of men and women, and God desires to use you and me to impact our nation. My brothers and sisters, this is not the time to point fingers at anybody else, because we are good at doing that. This is a time for us to sit and thoughtfully consider what God has to say, because this morning, as I speak to you on the theme, impacting a nation in turmoil, God desires to use you and me to make a difference in our generation. And this morning, I want to go to Philippians chapter 1. And although we read so many verses to set the context, I only want to share with you two verses. And from those two verses, I want to bring to you three challenges Paul gave the church at Philippi during a time of great turmoil in the Roman Empire. During a time of turmoil, Paul told the church at Philippi a number of things. And in our text, there are three things I want to pull out for you from there that I believe will be very helpful to us as we discuss our theme, impacting a nation in turmoil. Have your pen ready and your paper ready. First thing, put in your notes: we must unitedly stand as God's church. Amen? We must unitedly stand as God's church. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, which is perhaps our most important verse this morning. It tells us this: only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see all that? I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Put this in your notes. An army must fight together. An army must fight together. Paul painted a picture of the church as an army. That's why he uses that word, an army, standing fast. He paints the picture of the church as an army and told them that to be victorious in their battle for Christ, they, like an army, must stand together. We must stand united. You know, a visitor to a mental hospital was shocked that there were only three guards watching over 100 dangerous inmates. And so he said to his guide, he said, there are so many prisoners here, so many inmates here, dangerous inmates. There are only three guards. Aren't you concerned that the inmates may get together and overpower the three guards? The guide said, no, we're not worried, because lunatics never unite. The church is so divided today, sometimes our behavior fits an asylum more than it does an army. My friend, it is mind-blowing to me. Well, I wasn't born in this country,
But it is mind-blowing to me that the church has allowed the racial divide in the church to continue for centuries. It is mind-blowing that individuals who know about the love of Jesus would actually, because the history will tell you that sometimes it was actually members of the church who would lynch other people who are Christians. It is mind-blowing to me that the Christian, the Church of Jesus Christ, could allow this to continue for centuries. For Genesis made it clear that all of us were made from the same dirt. Am I right about it? It made it clear we're made from the same dirt, and it made it clear we're all made in the same image of God. All human beings are equal image bearers of God.
Amen. If that was not enough, once we become Christians, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 goes further, and it tells us that the Holy Spirit has baptized every single Christian into the one body of Christ, whether we are Jews or Gentiles. It tells us we have all been made one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Whether we are slaves or free, we are one. Oh, and if that wasn't enough, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 spelled out our unity. And it says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave or free, neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Now, I may not be the brightest bulb in here, but I have a feeling a simple mind like mine seems to be saying that that is not very complicated. That the Bible is simply saying that we have been made one in Christ. Did I miss something? My brother and sister, it's time to bring the practice of racial separation in the church to an end. My brother and sister, in this time of incredible turmoil, one of the things that God is saying to us, and my brothers and sisters who may be listening to me on some other medium, God is saying to us, it's time to bring this nonsense to an end. It's time for the church to unite. We must unitedly stand as God's church if we are going to impact this nation for God.
Listen, the racial divide was bad enough, but recently a huge political divide has also taken center stage. Some Christians are so confident of the righteousness of their position, they despise others, they will harm others who do not have their same perspective, not remembering that the most important thing about us as believers is that we have been made one in Jesus Christ.
My brother and sister, the most important, listen, I am closer to you. Listen to me good now. If you're from a different ethnic background, you may not have my skin color. If you know Jesus as Savior, I am closer to you than your brother who is not saved. We are one in Christ. And when we refuse to practice and recognize the unity God has provided, we are actually challenging the unity that the Holy Spirit has brought about.
We have despised the Spirit of God. Listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4 tells us something. Because listen, if we're really serious about impacting this nation, we have to do it God's way. And here's what Ephesians chapter 4, flip back there, tells us. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Notice he's not asking you to create the unity, because the unity of the Spirit doesn't have to be created by us. It was created by the Spirit of God. And what God is simply saying here in 4:4, Ephesians 4:4, he says, endeavoring, verse 3, endeavoring to keep
the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Every believer has the responsibility to doing everything they can to maintain or to keep the unity that the Spirit of God has created. And my brother and sister, if you are not doing everything you can in your power to keep the unity of the Spirit, you are living in sin. Oh my. Don't worry, write me now or call me. This is what the Word of God is saying. If you are not doing everything you can to keep the unity of the Spirit, you are in sin. Are you doing all you can to stand united with all your brothers and sisters in Christ? Just imagine the impact we would make in America. If Christians who were Latin and Asian and Black Americans and Caucasian Americans, can you imagine the impact we would make if all of us from all ethnic backgrounds would get together and unitedly proclaim the message of Jesus? Can you think of the impact it would have on this divided nation to see brothers and sisters, because they would be seeing that Jesus can make a difference. Amen.
So this morning I challenge my brothers and sisters, by God's grace I have done my part and will continue to do my part to reach out to my brothers, my pastors from other ethnic backgrounds, as we seek, by God's grace, to find a path to work together. And if you're listening, I challenge you and encourage you. We are anxious to develop relationships as we seek a path where we can work together and unitedly proclaim the life-transforming message of Jesus, because it's only one who can really make the difference. Amen. All the praise goes to Him. But listen, an army must not only fight together, but secondly, write this down. A team must strive together. A team must strive together. You know, verse 27, it tells us there of Philippians chapter 1. It says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's very interesting. The Greek word that's translated striving together is the same word that gives us our English word athletics. Here is the lesson. Put this down. Teamwork wins victories. Did you get it? Teamwork wins victories. When we strive together as a team, you know, this is one of the reasons why some brothers and sisters who like to be the lone rangers, they like to do it by themselves. That's not God's way. Teamwork wins victories. Here's something else to put to your notes. When we fail to strive together with the rest of God's team, we are helping Satan's team. Oh, I don't want you to miss that one. Oh, some of you may have a hard time with that one. When we fail to strive together with the rest of God's team, we are helping Satan's team. Can you imagine a soccer game? And here is the defense. The defense is playing their hearts out, and they're stopping every ball from coming to the net. And they pass the ball to the forward line. And the forward line just keeps dribbling the ball, and then eventually kick the ball out of bounds. And over, the defense keeps working, and the forward line keeps doing nothing. Can that team win? It has to be. Listen, you cannot win if you don't have teamwork. One part can be doing all they want, but if everybody isn't pulling it together, if the team isn't together, we cannot win. And listen, the other team will win us, beat us, if we are not going to work together as a team. So my brother, if you have been a fan of racial separation, I just,
The word of God is telling you today you are helping Satan's team. But I want to flip the switch a little, because over the years I've run into some folks who have been so hurt by racial separation. You've been so hurt by the racism that has happened to you. Perhaps you're Latin, or you're Asian, or you're a Black American, just like me, and you've been offended and affected and hurt by what has been done, and you're so bent out of shape. As far as you're concerned, you don't want to have anything to do with folks from the other side. You want to stick with your folks. That is an ungodly position. Oh, I want to make it clear this morning. There is no space in the Bible for you to say, well, they've hurt me, therefore I'm going to stick with my folks. No. No matter how badly you have been hurt, your motivation has still got to be to strive together as a team. Because if you don't continue to seek God's help and God's strength so we can work together, the team is not going to win. Listen, God is about unity. So I want to encourage you, my friend. You know, I've seen a lot of folks are so bent out of shape. They're saying all sorts of negatives about the other members of the team. And I want you to know that even my Caucasian brother who may say bad things about me and bad things about my people that look like me, I am still on his team. And I want you to know I'm not going to say and tear him down, although I disagree with what he is doing. He is on my team. We're on the same team. Listen, and by God's grace, my prayer is that that brother and that sister, that we could all unite together and strive together, so that together we will impact this nation. The devil seeks to tear us apart. The devil seeks to tell us, listen, you've had enough, you've put up with enough, it's time to get rid of that. No! We, by God's grace, we will always be striving to do it God's way. Because when we fail to strive together with the rest of God's team, we are helping Satan's team. God is giving us, I believe, an unprecedented opportunity to impact this nation. I honestly believe that. An unprecedented opportunity to impact this nation with the gospel. Let's not blow it by continuing on the path of racial and political division. But secondly, we must not only unitedly stand as God's church, but write this down. We must consistently walk as Christians. Verse 27 says, it starts by saying, only let your conduct be what? Be worthy of the gospel of Christ.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.